Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the epistle that we just heard, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul wrote, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Dear brothers and sisters, today we reached out earlier in the day beyond ourselves to part of the many who are of the one body of Christ. The food offering that we took blessed both people in Sweet Springs and those who come to the mission in Kansas City. This time of year, as at Christmas time, we get a little bit more of a peek of just how many of us there might be around the world, because there are television specials that show Christmas in such and such a land, or Easter celebrations, even Good Friday celebrations, when the climate in the Middle East doesn't include a steady falling of lead. One. Our United States says, "E pluribus unum," out of many one. And it's almost as if they stole that from the Christian church. Because the unity that we have at Christians is much more complete than the unity that the states of this nation have. The unity that we have was forged not by the blood of the patriots, but by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, here in this part of 1 Corinthians, Paul is reminding the people of Corinth just what it is that they're eating and drinking. The next chapter he'll continue and he'll chew them out for some of their excesses. For getting drunk. For not realizing, not appreciating, not understanding that it truly was the body of Christ that they were eating and drinking. And he would tell them with the same words that the evangelists were also using, what happened that night in the upper room. But here, it's more of a contrast to the eating and drinking of Christians with the eating and drinking of the world, particularly a pagan world. A world which ate in order to be in fellowship with false gods. Yet here, the true God brings us into his own fellowship through the body and blood of his Son. And so he asks simple, really rhetorical questions. We already know the answer. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Well, if it's not, what is it? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And that's not so, then what is it? Well, some will say that it's not really the body. That it's not really the blood, that they're just symbols, philosophical ideas, that at most we might have some sort of a spiritual fellowship with God when we come to eat and drink. They ignore what Jesus says, and is does mean is. And he says, this is my body, and this is my blood. The church can either say amen, or can cease to be fully his church. If we participate, if we communicate in the body and blood of Christ, if we have the communion of the body with the bread and of the blood with the cup, then we are in communion with Jesus. Paul goes a step farther. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. He talks about this more when he writes to the Ephesians. That whole wonderful section on the church being the body. However, even here we see what we are. We are Jesus' body on earth. Yes, he still has a physical body, and yes, we eat his body in Holy Communion, and no, we can't explain it or understand it. We just say, amen. We are one body with Peter, James, and John as they gathered for that first supper. An interesting gift that Jesus gives. He gives them the gift before he pays for it. But he's God and he can do that. We are in communion with Paul and with the Corinthians who heard and read these words and pondered and believed them. We are one body with the saints who live to this day, as well as those who have been laid in their graves. We are one body with each other here. We are one body with our own Christian families. And that is all because we are one body in and of Christ. Because there is one bread. And here Paul is using figurative language. Because even if you take one bread, as we will tonight, and break it into pieces, that's pure symbolism. But the real bread, the bread come down from heaven, as Jesus described himself, is the one bread. And it didn't matter if you were eating it around the table with the 12, or if you waited all the way until 2009 to sink your teeth into it, it is the same one body. The body of the infant priest of whom we sang. The body of our great high priest who entered into the holy place once for all, as our gradual tells us. The body that hanged on the cross and was laid in the tomb, and the body that came out on the third day, that appeared to the startled disciples and said, "Well, if you don't believe me, touch me, because here I am." The body that before and after ate and drank, because it was a real human body. Yet it was also the body of God. Of God who took our sins upon himself. And tonight we pay special attention to one of our sins. The sin of ignoring the fact that we are one. Because under that sin, we have many of the sins against all of the commandments. Honor, respect, taking care of one another's property and possessions, contentment, which means no covetousness, no grumbling, no gossiping, no false testimonies, but peace. Because you have to be sick. You have to be warped. You have to be twisted to tear apart your own body. Remember what Paul said when talking about husbands and wives. Love or as you love your own body. And nobody but an insane man, an evil man, a man possessed of demons would tear his body apart. Yet we will. We will talk about one another behind their backs. We will evaluate one another by how much they give in currency or in sweat equity into what we think is proper work, whether in the church or in our communities. We will evaluate, we will compare, we will scheme, we will consider ourselves better than those people over there, as the Pharisee did, and we will also be intimidated by those whom we wrongly think are better than we. We forget that all of us are servants. That the one who made us one is also the one who just before this time got down on his knees and washed the dirty feet of the disciples. The one who made them one by his own blood is also the one who cleansed them, who purified them. And he's the one who does that for us. The disunity that the disciples sometimes showed, such as, "Hey, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, can we sit on your right and left hand?" Don't we have that sort of disunity now? Can't I do something a little bit better, a little bit more special than somebody else? Can't I stand out in this church? You can, but not when you try to. It's only when the gift is given naturally, and God notices it, perhaps others do. And the way that we stand out is usually by not standing out. The way we are raised up is by bending our knees in service, just as we do in confession, just as we do in reception of the body and blood. Because there is one bread then, one body of Jesus offered as one sacrifice for all time, we scattered throughout time and thrown to the four corners of the earth are one. Our skin may be lighter than some and darker than others. We may be taller or shorter. We may speak a multitude of languages. Some of those in this communion have not even been born yet, but God knows them and has already identified them as His. Some of them hundreds, thousands of years married. Even those who are lost to human knowledge are not lost to the Lord, and they are all one with us. And we will be joined as one eternal heavenly host because of this one bread that is offered to us. The bread come down to heaven, the bread of life, the bread that gets us through our pilgrimage. And tonight in the consecration, instead of our normal box of wafers, we will take one large piece of flatbread. And we will bless this bread, as the evangelist in St. Paul showed us how. And we will break it. And we will eat it. Because even though we really receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper, it's nice that we can also have the symbolism to remind us of the substance. That we can have one bread, that we can have one cup, that we can be one body because of the one who gave his life for us. That he might forgive us from going our own way, choosing our own paths, and judging and evaluating one another in any way other than in love and in forgiveness. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation, a communion in the blood of Christ? Well, if it isn't, then Maundy Thursday doesn't mean any more than any other day. And likewise, the bread that we break, is it not a participation, a communion in the body of Christ? Well, certainly. Because Christ says so himself and through the apostles. And this one bread come down from heaven feeds a multitude of hungry people on their pilgrimage. God grant that we who are many would continue to see ourselves also as one body, the body of Christ, and not only see ourselves sitting around as that body, but a body that's living and active, reaching out and combined love and service, helping those parts of the body which are hurt, which are ailing, which are distressed. Because we do not wish to lose any of our members, any of our limbs, but we wish the body, which is also the bride of Christ, to be raised up holy and full and perfect and incorruptible. And we, with our Savior, wish that no one would be left behind. God grant that as we come forward to eat this bread and drink this cup, we do in faith, and we do knowing that we are one with one another and one with our Father in heaven, because in Jesus we are one with that one bread. In the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding preserve you steadfast in faith and to life everlasting. Amen.